In Galatians chapter 5, we took a look here at verses 16 and 17 last time, and we left this book to go and take a look at these things over in Colossians chapter 3. It says in Galatians chapter 5, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So do this, and you won't. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We need to walk. How is it that we walk in the Spirit? Well, it's not going around with our eyes looking up to heaven and just putting on a pious face and maybe even saying some particular things that'll make everybody impressed that we're righteous or religious and that. That's not going off in a cave somewhere, on a monastery on the top of a mountain or something like that and locking ourselves up and becoming a hermit. That's not how and not what this is talking about. What this is talking about is you and I in our day-to-day lives, with the day-to-day things that we deal with, we need to do them and pursue them with the Spirit of the Lord. So it's talking about your home, talking about work, talking about our witness, talking about in the church, talking about being a mother, talking about being a father, talking about being a child, a grandparent, that we do those things the way the Lord would be pleased. That we would behave ourselves. Now, namely, when we're confronted with adversity, it's easy to behave when things are good, right? That's easy. When it's easy on the skin and when we're on the receiving end of blessing, it's easy then. But where we really show what the Lord has done in us and the manifestation of the Spirit, where we're heading for in this chapter, is the fruit of the Spirit. That's revealed in adversity. That's revealed when we're challenged. That's revealed when we're cornered. That's revealed when we're surprised. And that's when we are really put to the test that we walk in the Spirit. Do we fail? Yes. Do we need to pursue not to fail? Yes. Do we need to ask the Lord to help us? Yes. It's the only way that we can. And so filling up on the Word of God, being in prayer, being in a constant state of communication there with the Lord. You as Brother Danny would say, you don't need to close your eyes going down the road driving, but you can pray, can't you? Talk to the Lord. Lord, bring somebody to your heart and your mind. Say, Lord, help them in that. Lord, help me to be a help to them in that. Lord, work in that situation. I mean, having that line of communication open with our Heavenly Father continuously. When thoughts come across our heart and mind, Lord, forgive me for that. Help me not to think about that. When my attitude gets sour or bad because of the way I've been treated, Lord, forgive me of that. I don't need to think about being that way physically because of what happened. Lord, help me. And walking in the Spirit. And you know, when we do that, when we have a mind for what the Lord would do, well, how the Lord would have us to behave, how the Lord not act, but behave, okay? Not put on a front. Okay, not be something that we're not, but that our behavior be changed, our thinking be changed, our minds be renewed. If we walk in the Spirit, there won't be time to fulfill the lust of the flesh, the desire of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. I want you quickly to turn over here to Colossians 3 again, and I just want to point a thing out here that. And I mentioned to you, it's in this chapter that we see the mention of the old man, the mention of the new man. It's by this and some of the things that John writes in his epistles that tells us about the new man doesn't sin, that the new man is the new nature, the new man is that which is in us by the Spirit of God. And look here, I just want us to skip down through here, and I want you to see the contrast between being alive and being saved, okay, or being or death and the old man that's here. And I don't want to go back over the passage, but it says the new man is doing these things, okay. Verse 1, seek. Verse 2, set. Okay. Verse number 3, mortify. Okay. Mortification is talking about putting down the old man, right? Mortifying is to render still, to allow not to move anymore, to allow not to show those things or itself anymore. Look at the old man here, verse 3. dead, for ye are dead. See, that we're dead to that old way, to that old man, and he is death. He is dead, and spiritually speaking, we are to be dead to that old man, okay? For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. There's the new man. The old man is dead. He's dead because of sin, and then we're to put him to death, okay, that he not raise up, and we yet sin more against our Lord. We've been made alive. We have life in Christ, and the old man is to die. And it says here in verse 5, mortify, okay, verse number 6, because of these wicked things that the flesh does nothing but pursue, the wrath of God. When you talk about the wrath of God, where is it going to end up in? Death. The wrath of God, the fury of the Lord will end up on those to whom it's poured out upon. It will end up in death. And they will die from this life if that wrath is poured out then upon them. I'm thinking about the time of the great tribulation. Halfway through that 7-year tribulation, the latter half of that, or so, when the Lord begins to pour out His wrath upon this earth, He's going to start dealing with sin and bringing it to an end. It's going to start with this earth and the inhabitants of this earth. It's going to end up at the great white throne judgment, okay, some 3.5 years later. And He's going to deal with sin and He's going to put an end to it. So the wrath of God is there, is associated with the death of the old man. It's by when the wrath of God is poured out upon sinners unrepentant and don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they will spend eternity where? In the lake of fire. What to tell us? That is the second death, okay? So the wrath of God is associated, is meted out upon that dead way, if you will. And they were to put off these things, verse number 8. And verse number 9, put off the old man. Well, the new man is seeking in verse 1. He's setting his affection on things above. He's mortifying, verse number 5, the deeds of the flesh. And then we see here in verse number 10, and have put on the new man. The new man. Now that's the one we need to feed, is the new man. We need to feed him. And of course, verse number 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, okay? Put on therefore as the elect of God, as the holy of the Lord, as the beloved of the Lord, okay? You see that? Well, we've been changed. We've been made different. We've been adopted. We're sons of God. Behave like it. Amen? Behave like it. Okay, don't live that old cheap life that the Lord saved us from, but behave like it. And let's take a look here quickly in regards to this old man. Look over here in Romans 6, verse 6. Romans chapter 6, verse number 6. We'll just look at this here quickly. Buried in baptism, right? Here in the beginning of this chapter, verse number 4, we're planted, okay? That's speaking of how baptism is planted in the likeness of His death. Just like that seed has to go into the ground and die. And then somehow, some miraculous way, brings forth life. And what's the Lord say about our lives? If we'll lose it for His sake, we'll gain it. Right? But if we take our lives and we hang on to them, my life, do my own thing. Let me be, leave me alone, get out of my face. It's my life, I'm going to do with it what I want to. You'll lose it. Relative to eternity, we'll lose it, won't we? Right? He says, we've been planted together, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. Kind of sounds very much parallel to mortify, doesn't it? I mean, pin it down. Make him to where he can't move. Is crucified with Him that the body of sin might be destroyed. Now, we like our skin, don't we? I like my skin. I like being me. Me's all I've got. I can't be somebody else. I like it. I like life. But this is supposed to die. I was thinking about something that I was confronted with here a handful of weeks ago. And you know what? I'll need you someday to probably remind me of this. But there's things that we may be challenged with in our life. Maybe, I'll just cut to the chase on this one. Maybe issues of health. I've seen it. I've seen it in others in my life. Issues of health. Who wants good health? All of us want good health, don't we? We do. We desire that. But if it comes down to it, may the Lord help us. May the Lord help me. But if it comes down to it that the service of the Lord will cost me my health, am I then going to back away from the service of the Lord for the sake of my health? Because isn't this supposed to die anyway? Do I want to be back? I kind of liken it to the days of David and the days of Israel when there was battles to be fought and the inhabitants of the land to be driven out. Would we druther lose our health and lose our life going forward for the Lord, doing what the Lord would have us to do, or would we druther lose our life cowering back and trying to bring it and hold it and hug it to ourselves? Because see, if I back away from what the Lord's called me to do, can I keep myself well and alive? I can't in the first place, can I? But I think that I can by backing away. But when it gets down to it, I can't. And what's supposed to happen to this old body anyway? It's supposed to die. Now, I'm not waxing suicidal. Our brother Peacock, bless his heart, he has Alzheimer's, and a young man when Alzheimer's began to take him, and he was preaching a message about going home to be with the Lord, and he was thrilled about it. He was loved and with wonder and the power that he had in that message. He was just excited to go and see the Lord. And he said that during the course of, now I'm not waxing suicidal, folks. So I mean that's not the case here, but I want to see the Lord when it's time for him to take me. You know, and so the thing, we don't need to be foolish, but we do need to put things in their right place, don't we? I'm not getting out of here with this bod. I'm not getting out of here with this life and this flesh. May the Lord help us, so we go ahead and use it up for the Lord, amen? And not try to hold it back. Now, like I said at the beginning, I may need you to remind me of that someday. It's easy to say. It's easy to preach. It's easy to say that that's the way it ought to be in our thinking. But it's another thing to stand up and do it. And I realize that. And so may the Lord help us in that. May the Lord help us that we encourage one another in it. But this, knowing this, that our old man, verse 6, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now there's a present tense about that body of sin being destroyed, that's implied there, isn't it? That the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sin. Remember how the Lord said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. That the Lord has made, the Lord is not wanting us, I don't believe that He wants us to get to the point to where we start plucking out our eyes and cutting off our hands. But if that's what it takes to quit sinning, that's how important staying away from sin is. That's what He's getting at. Better to to go into life halt and maimed than be the servant of sin. That's how bad sin is. And we need to put it away from us. Verse 7 goes, for he that is dead is freed from sin. And that's what we need indeed. In Ephesians chapter 4, real quick, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, here speaking about the old man. Verse number 20, let's read here, but ye have not so learned Christ. Okay, talking about those that are alienated from the Lord, the blindness of their heart, past feelings, consciences seared, if you will. They're going to lasciviousness, just wickedness of the flesh beyond measure. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, the Spirit and the Lord visiting us and saving us, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The desires of the old man will deceive us. I'm going to get personal. But what that thing that all of the thing that what you pick the sin, you know what it is in your life that we've been faced with. We know it's wrong, but we justify it in our hearts and we go ahead and do it. Then we got guilt because we did as a child of God. I pray we do have guilt. And but we've all dealt with and faced that and done that. Because the old man is corrupt. And sin is deceptive. And if we'll listen to that, rather than putting off what we know out of the Word of God, we will justify it and go on. But you know what? As a child of God, you know what will happen? The guilt of disobedience will come upon us and there will be. Tell you what, if you got guilt, repent of it. Repent of it. If you're carrying around guilt, repent of it before the Lord. And get that monkey off your back. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Repent of it. Turn from it. And then forgive yourself, too. Because we can be plagued with that. Not forgiving ourselves.
Right.
We can be. So the old man, oh boy, he is terrible, terrible indeed. Back in Galatians chapter 5, take a look here. This I say then in verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other. The old man, new man's not mentioned here, but that's what it's talking about. So that you cannot do the things that you would, because we're hindered. We're hindered. The old man hinders us, drags us. Oh, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The Apostle Paul says, and there in the book of Romans, he says, I got a dead man on my back, and he's dragging me down and compromising me and tugging at me and pulling at me. And all he thinks about and all he wants is death, 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 death. That's parallel to what we've seen, isn't it? Indeed. But if ye, verse 18, if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under that old dead law. And so we've been saved by the Lord. We've been given life. Oh, may the Lord help us that we avail ourselves to that. The Lord help us that we seek the Lord's help, seek the Lord's face, and walk in day to day to day. Look here. I tell you what, it's depressing to even look at it and consider it. But we've got to. We've got to go through and consider this junk, this bad stuff of the old man before we can get to the good stuff of the Spirit, okay? And so here in verse number 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest. They're shown forth, which are these? Adultery. We understand about that. Being one married, having to do with a man or a woman that's in the Bible vernacular that's strange to you. You don't belong messing with that man. You don't belong messing with that woman because they're not yours. You're married to your spouse. And there is a sense, I mean, I would buy into this, that in even before marriage, in the engaging of fornication, in the engaging of illicitness and intimacy between that the Lord has reserved for marriage, that intimacy between a man and a woman that the Lord has made and provided for, that engaging in those things before marriage is, in a sense, you're committing adultery against your spouse-to-be. It is for sure fornication. But one that engages in that is sinning against their spouse-to-be. And so, young people, you that are here, where's you that are here? I just thought of somebody and I didn't see them and now I see them. You that are here and young, and you've not been married, and you're looking forward maybe in the future to be married, keep yourself for your spouse. That's what the Lord wants. from the standpoint of your virginity, from the standpoint of your testimony and your reputation, and from the standpoint of your innocence. You can keep your virginity and lose your innocence.
Right.
Amen? Yeah. Amen.
Right.
And so you need to protect those three things.
Amen.
So adultery, fornication. Fornication was listed over there in Colossians chapter 5. Adultery wasn't. Uncleanness, it was also listed over there in Colossians chapter 3 when we looked at it last Wednesday. Just nastiness. Just if there's something to be stolen, steal it. If there's a lie to be told, tell it. If there's a dirty joke to be listened to or told, pursue it. If there's cussing and swearing to be done and taking God's name in vain, do it. Uncleanness. Just nasty, nasty, nasty. Continue. If there's vice to be had and pursued, it's pursued. Just in every way and every whit. We've all known those that have been bent that way. Lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is a word that's it's taking these things of fornication, this thing of fornication, and just going beyond. Licentiousness. The whole pornography industry is that way. It's licentious. It's just filth, filth, more filth, more filth, more. It just goes on and on and on. Because the envelope has to continually be pressed for them to sell their product. And just wantonness in that. I tell you what, the cultivating realm for lasciviousness in our young people today, I believe is certainly found. And of course, the media comes at them. But I tell you what, the colleges and the universities are just a educating. The words escape me. It's just great pressure put upon young people to pursue lasciviousness. It's just taking. It doesn't matter. It's leaving that. Of intimacy between a man and a woman, which is fornication by the definition of the Bible, but then going on to anything goes. It's just terrible wickedness, and when you know that, if you have programming that you just go through, or you take a look at a TV guide or a cable guide or whatever, by the programs that are there, you know that what I'm talking about is the truth, because it's there. It's just there. And young people can't wait to get off to college or university just so they can get in the middle and pursue those things. There's a cut of them that they're just looking. That's the reason that they go. Now, is there anything wrong with education? No. We're not to be dumb or ignorant. We're not. Does college or university, does that make somebody more of a person than someone else? No. Because I've known folks that have gone to such and were yet fools. They did not learn anything, or if they did learn anything, they did not learn how to apply it. Okay? And so it's not, once again, it's not the thing. But because of the freedom that's exercised by young people there, and them taken out of their homes, and the moral situation of the day declining as what it is, they're there. They're young, they've got time on their hands, and there's many, many, many other ones like them, just like that there. And that filth, the Satan and the way of the world and wickedness is just pressing upon it. Lasciviousness. May the Lord help. Protect. May the Lord help us to protect our children and teach our children well. Idolatry. It goes on to say idolatry in verse number 20. The worship of anything, whether it be worshiping a god, The image of Dagon, I think about the image of Dagon there amongst the Philistines, and that sucker that first day he's fall down there, and they scrambled in there and they got him set back up, the Ark of the Covenant sitting over there, nothing happens to it. And then the next day he's falling back over again, got his hands and his head broke off, if I remember right. You know, to bow down to the stock of a tree, That's what Jeremiah talks about. To bow down to the stock, to take some iron or some gold that had to be dug up out of the ground and make it into a molten image and then have to carry it there, had to shape it, polish it, carve it, get it all right, put it up there at the stand there, and then bow down to it. That's lunacy, isn't it? Praise God, we know it's lunacy because of what the Lord showed us. I mean, that's how we know it. Up in the St. Louis area, and it's a little bit around here, but it's not like it is up there. The predominant religion is that of universalism, of Catholicism. And you got those statues of supposedly Mary, mostly Mary is what you'll see. Maybe sometimes you see the great imposter. That's supposed to be Jesus, okay? And the thing is that they it's kind of like it says in Jeremiah. One man can afford a gold or silver statue, but the other one, he can only afford a wooden one. Okay? So he has a god fashioned out of wood because he doesn't have enough money to do one that's cost more money. Well, those Marys or those Jesuses or whatever it is, they're all made out of concrete. And I'm driving down the road one day and you know, you see those at different places in front of different houses and that their buildings and stuff like that. You know what else they make out of concrete? Septic tanks. You ever think about that? I mean, think about it. And then to bow down and kiss that. You know, they make them out of marble, too. You know what else they make out of marble? Tombstones. Amen? Praise God for Him having saved us out of those things. Idolatry. And image worship. You know, idolatry also, it mentions over there in Colossians, idolatry was mentioned kind of secondarily relative to covetousness. You know, idolatry is anything we take and put between us and the Lord. You know, that can be, we can take our spouse and do that with them. We can take our children, our grandchildren. Take our job and take our stuff. We can take our religious way, the way that we've put together. Traditions of men taught for the commandments of God, that can be idolatry. We can get the doctrine that the Lord, the teaching that the Lord has given us in the church and telling us about how He's worked in us and brought us to salvation. That doctrine is to give us confidence in and cause us to praise and worship and honor and glorify our Lord and Savior more and more and more. It directs us to Him. May God help us that we not ever worship the doctrine.
Right.
Okay? There's a fine line there, folks.
Amen.
And I believe there are those that worship doctrines rather than worship the Lord.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, it troubles me.
Right.
It troubles me to go to a church and see a declaration about what's believed. And in a booklet, maybe about this size, you know, maybe about 5.5 tall, and how tall would that be? Maybe 8 inches tall and 5.5 inches wide or so. Take an piece of 8.5 by 11 paper and fold it in half. Tells about the doctrine that they believe and what they stand in. And there's little mention, if any, about the Lord Jesus Christ. That troubles me.
Amen.
Got all those Baptist doctrines in there. And they're good. They're not to be, we're not to despise them. There was a day that I had a problem with the doctrines that we held to and the way that they had been presented to me and the way that I took them in my life and growing up. The Lord saved me and then taught me some things and tempered me in my thinking about that. So I don't get upset about that. I may be disturbed by people and the way they manage things. But the doctrine that we have, we're to love. But it points us to the Lord. And if you don't have about the gospel and what you believe, something is wrong. The church at Ephesus left their first love.
Yeah.
And that first love is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason we're doing what we're doing. Did you come tonight to please me? You came for the wrong reason if you came to please me.
Right.
I came out of love for my Savior. He wants me to be here. He wants me to come and meet together with you and do the part, take care of the part, take care of the responsibility, take care of the privilege that I have in the church. It's because of Jesus.
Right.
Now, I benefit by seeing you. I don't know if you benefit by seeing me or not, but I'm glad to see you because I'm encouraged by you.
Amen.
And so we're to love the Lord and love the doctrine that He's given us, in that it points us to Him and it gives us hope and confidence and strength and assurance in Him. It's all about the Lord. Do you talk to the Lord? Do you love your Lord and Savior? Do you think about how He died for you? What He's done for you? What He's promised you? Peter tells us that by all the precious promises that we've been given, that by those we can be a partaker of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know the promises, you can't be. The promises will give us help and hope when we get crowded by this world and we want to flare up and behave like the old man. But the promises will be there and say, no, I need to walk with my Lord. I need to be representative of Him. I need to do what the Lord would do and be representative of Him. Idolatry. We're going to stop right there for tonight. I want to give you something for consideration. Here in this part, in Galatians chapter 5, there's 17 things listed here in regards to the works of the flesh. There were 11 listed over in Colossians. That's a total of 28. There were 3 that are mentioned in both places. So if we take that 3 away, there's 25 things that the Scripture comes to us and to define to us and show us specify different areas of the works of the flesh. Isn't that something? 25 different things. You know about the fruit of the Spirit? You know how many are listed here in Galatians? 9. It was kind of like when we were taking a look about the thing of love, that topic of love. 3 words in the Scripture that describe the love of God. 15 different words that describe the fondness or the quote-unquote love of man. Isn't that interesting? You know, is salvation complicated or is it simple? Well, it's simple, isn't it? Because it's all in Christ. What about the salvation that men in the world promote? It's always complicated, isn't it? You see my point? See, the Lord has made it. He's made it so clear and so easy. And of course, it's spiritually discerned. You know, and that, it's that way. But praise God. He knows who He's talking to. Amen. And that Bible, the Word of God, the Scripture, He's made it to where it can be understood by somebody that's old or middle-aged or even a child. And salvation's in Him. Isn't that what we're told, that we need to have the faith of a child? Are you trying to be saved? Quit trying to be saved. Just trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. quit trying to muster it up. Just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent to God that you're guilty, you're wicked, you need a Savior, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.